This is tape number 3 of a 16 tape series, the topic of which is on humility. The sermons were given by Pastor Grace Jiang in Mandarin Chinese. In this tape, Pastor Jiang's sermon will be preceded by a testimony given by Brother Yu Chen. Here is the testimony. Today I'm here to share my witness with you. I originally wanted to give the opportunity to other people first, but since nobody stepped up, and I think today I'm going to stand up here to speak to you. I remember a while back, Pastor Chan talked about the time when you feel you are tested by your spirit of pride is the time when you are doing the same thing with the people of your same group in the office, or you are just involved in the same kind of project with another person or another group. When you people share the same kind of responsibility, it is time easily your spirit of pride is shown, and what kind of a spiritual life you have inside you is easily tested and easily just disclosed. And I remember I had this co-worker, he and I, we had always had a very good relationship. But just a few weeks back, the two of us, we were involved in the same project. Because of that, every time when the weekly report came out, I paid a special attention to it, because I'm always thinking I was so good. I'm should always be the top of the list, which turns out to be the case. But one time I noticed what he did is more than me, and he topped me off the list. And when I saw that, I felt jealous. Immediately just came inside me. I immediately realized I was jealous. I was kind of surprised. So on the way home, when I was driving, and I just remembered a message Pastor Chang also taught us some other time, which is when we experience the attack from the enemies, we really need to proclaim the victory of the Lord. Through the proclaiming the victory of Jesus, we just fight back. We just drive out the evil spirit from us. We just rid ourselves of those evil spirits. So I did the same thing while I was driving. I said, in the name of Jesus, drive out that evil spirit. In the name of Jesus, the evil spirit, depart from me. And I just repeated it over and over and louder and louder. Then that night, just I came back for meeting, for the gathering, and I saw one new Christian. I asked him, I said, how are you these days? How have you been? How is the Lord treating you? He said, oh, Lord is so good. Lord is so loving. I enjoy him so much. When I heard this, jealousy just wells up inside me again, because he is a relatively new Christian. How come he experienced the presence, the intimacy of the Lord? I have not. I just felt this jealous again. And I realized once again, I have this spirit of strife, spirit of contention, spirit of pride, and I find I'm helpless and I'm hopeless. I cannot fight against it. I do not have the power. So at the end of that night service, I just went up there and I just went down on my knees and prayed to God. And it's the first time I prayed to the Lord. Just show me what a real person I am in my spirit. What kind of a spiritual qualities I do have inside me. Lord, show me. Lord answered my prayer. So it's the first time our Lord showed me what kind of person I really was. And I started to cry. Tears just came out of my eyes, rolling down my face, and I cried very bitterly. And I really see how ugly the spirit of strife is, how just disgusting the spirit of pride looks like. And I was really shown these pictures. It is a horrifying picture. I find I really want to rid myself of these evil spirits and evil forces. So since I saw that, I prayed to God for guidance, for help, and also for forgiveness. May God forgive my sins, because I have this spirit of pride working in me. So when I turned around, when I just prayed for my coworker, I prayed for that new Christian. I just talked to him a few minutes back. When I turned around, look at him again, I find he looks much better to me. He appears to be living, to be friendly. And that's because, not because he changed, but because I changed. Lord changed my spirit inside me. So I really thank the Lord. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is God's hand working inside me. Thank the Lord. Here's God's message of Pastor John. Well, we just heard Brother Yu Chen's testimony. Hopefully next week other people can do the same thing, can follow suit. And Brother Eaton just talked about how he proclaimed the victory of the Lord in the face of the evil one. This just demonstrates that he has this determination. He has this willingness before the Lord to rid himself of the spirit of strife and spirit of pride and the spirit of darkness, because this is acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. So he just prayed before God. And this is what you and I need to do. We need to call on the name of the Lord to help us when we're in a time of need. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 3. Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are all familiar with the Beatitudes, which is the message Jesus taught on the Mount. And these are the prerequisites before a person can enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the very first Beatitude is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when we talk about poor in spirit, is the person realizes his poverty in his personal spiritual life. So this is a very important realization of any Christian. So here says a person who is poor in spirit, then he is blessed because the kingdom will be his. We are all familiar with the other passage which is recorded in the book of Revelations, which is the Christians of Laodicea. And these Christians, they are so self-content, they are so self-conceited, they think they are rich in everything. So that's the opposite of the teaching here. Here it says the person who is poor in spirit, he will be blessed because the kingdom of heaven will be his. So now, as the list of the Beatitudes continues, everything is based on this foundation of the first quality, which is the poverty in spirit. It's all related to the very first, very fundamental quality. Like Brother Eaton just talked about, it's the first time in his life he just cried before the Lord for his poverty in his spiritual life, because it's the first time he realized it. So he just stepped down. He humbled himself before the Lord. So he mourned. Remember, the second one says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So many Christians, they never mourn. They never mourn for the status of their spirituality. Blessed are those meek, for they will inherit the earth. To have an attitude of meekness, it's also based upon the first beatitude, which is you realize your poverty in spirit. Only when you feel poor in spirit, you will be meek. Only when you feel you are in lack of all these good qualities, then you will be humbling yourself. Then you will just bow down yourselves before the Lord. Then you will be stepping down from the podium of pride. So Christians, we need to be very careful. We need to oftentimes just come inside us and search our hearts. Do I have this thirst for the Lord? If not, I may already step away from the path of heaven. Also, later on it says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. But who can be these people? They will be merciful. These are the people who have this realization of poverty in their spiritual life. Then they will become merciful. Then they will be shown mercy. So the Beatitudes, these eight Beatitudes, they are the prerequisites for a Christian before they can enter the kingdom of heaven. So the beauty cubes really just tells how important we need to have an attitude. We need to have this, we need to come to this realization that we are poor in our spirit. So it's not just some teaching given by Jesus Christ. We really need to walk in the light of Christ. Then we will come to this important, this critical realization. So these beauties not only are prerequisites, these are also the personalities and qualities of the kingdom of heaven. So for all the people in the kingdom of heaven, they will have these eight qualities. So no person is born with these qualities. No person is born with the realization of poor in spirit. No person is born with a meek attitude. Yes, sometimes you will have some people, they speak very softly, very gentle. It's not their quality. That's because the way they were brought up in their childhood. So sometimes people can speak very softly, gently, but these words can be very cutting. These words can be very piercing. So all the beatitudes are heavenly qualities, are heavenly personalities. These things, we can only have them through our prayer before God and through our exercising these qualities, through continue to walk in the light of Jesus. So these things are inner qualities of a person's spiritual life. Only through the work of the Holy Spirit, work continuously and silently by the Holy Spirit inside us, so we will gradually develop these qualities. We have these people, they were born shy people, and these people, they tend to hide behind the crowds. On the other hand, the other group of people, these other people, they are very self-conscious. They are always concerned about their images. And if they stand up and speak in the public, they were afraid that people would think, okay, you guys like to show off yourself, and you guys are so proud. So these people also, the behavior seems like the same. They also tend to hide behind the crowds. This group is also not the group that have the quality of humility. This group are not the people that are humble in their hearts, because they are too self-conscious. The real humble people are the people, they just deny themselves before the Lord. They always just say no to their natural selves in the light of Jesus Christ. They are only thing they are concerned is not themselves. Only things they are concerned is what is pleasant in the sight of the Lord. What I can do, what I can say, what are the things that I can present to the Lord which is acceptable to Him, which will be pleasing in His sight. And Jesus Himself set a good example before all of us. He Himself is God, but He humbled Himself to the point He died on the cross. That's the ultimate example Jesus Christ has set before us. So we need to follow His example, follow His footsteps to be like Him. I remember I said it before today, let me repeat again. The most important quality and a personality and a character of the people of Kingdom of Heaven is humility. Brothers and sisters, this is important. Put that in your mind. Humility is the most important quality of the people of Kingdom of Heaven. And in our Burlington area, we have this Burlington neighborhood group. And a while back, that group invited me to their gathering. So I just went over there. Then a few sisters in the Burlington neighborhood group, they just served us with a nice dinner, nice dishes. They served us very just diligently, very carefully, and very meticulously. And we were really touched. We really feel we were loved. So I just expressed my feeling to Paul. I just said, I think in heaven, all these sisters will be on the seat of mercy with the Lord. They will be sitting on the thrones with Jesus Christ. And remember, there's a one Christian God showed him this vision, because in his vision he saw all the women, they were sitting in the throne with Jesus Christ. And and this incident also reminded me of Luke chapter 8. It described, it just recorded when Jesus was walking all over town with his disciples, and he was followed by a group of women. So I just said this to Paul, and Paul said, oh yeah, right, no wonder. No wonder, yes, I agree with you, no wonder. So in the heaven, this group of women will be sitting together with the Lord on the throne. So brothers and sisters, who are those people? They will be sitting on the throne together with Jesus in heaven in the future. These are the people who are humble in their heart. The only concern in their heart is to serve the Lord and to serve people. Let's look at another passage, which is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Here the Bible says, humble yourselves. Humility is just the opposite of lack of self-confidence, lack of self-respect. They are two entirely different things. So Bible talking about humility. Bible says, humble yourselves. We really need to prostrate ourselves before Lord. He says, we will humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, so that he may lift you up in due time. So all of us, we have this thirst, we have this desire that Lord will lift us up. But the only way you can do that, you can achieve that, is to humble yourselves before God's mighty hand, under God's mighty hand. So that's the way you and I need to humble ourselves before God. Particularly, he says, under God's mighty hand. I remember there are some incidents and some stories recorded in the Bible can sort of like pretty much explains this verse. Let's look at 2 Samuel, and which is chapter 12, verses 15 through 23, which is a long passage. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and went into his house and spent the night lying on the ground. The elders of his household stood before him to get him up from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, we spoke to David, but he would not listen to us. How can we tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his servants were whispering among themselves, and he realized that the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied. He is dead. Then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food and he ate. His servants asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat. He answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. As we can see here, while the child was still alive, David fasted 7 days and refused to get up. But once the child was dead, David just got up and washed, put on lotions, put on clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshipped him. Worship God. This is an example of one humbles himself and under God's mighty hand. So what would you do if you were David? Probably you and I would do the thing as, God, I pray to you. God, save my child. God give the life back to my child. But now, when the child is dead, what we do? Probably we say, Lord, I prayed so earnestly. I just so urgently to you. I prayed for so long. I fasted. I prayed for you for 7 days. Don't you see that? Now my child is dead. I don't want you anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Brothers and sisters, be very careful. This is a spirit of pride. Oftentimes, you and I, we have this spirit of pride, the spirit of strife in us. So we are sitting on the throne, and our God, we treat him as our servant. We treat him as our super servant. Whatever we want, we pray to him, we want him, we almost commanded him to materialize for us, to carry out our personal plans. That's us. That's our spirit. Brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful. Look at the example of David. Once when he heard the child is dead, he just got up. He just washed. He put on lotions. He changed his clothes. Then he entered the house of Lord and worshipped. This is an example of humility under God's mighty hand. He humbled himself without asking reasons, without arguing, without contending, and he worshipped his God. This is the example of humbling himself under God's mighty hand. He knew he could pray. He could continue to pray. And he even said, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let a child live. But he also knew very well, if God is not willing, I still want to worship my God. I still want to praise my God. I still want to humble myself before God in God's presence. This should really be a reminder to you and I. If you and I experience painful things, if you and I experience difficult times, if you and I experience hardships, can you and I do the same thing like David just did? Or instead, when we just have those difficult things and difficult times, we just argue with God, we just contend with God, we even fight with God. Look at David's attitude. No matter what happened, no matter what was brought by God to him, he just humbled himself. I remember I heard sometimes the Christians told me, oh, I experienced this. I encountered this difficulty in my life. I just prayed to God. The result turned out to be not to my liking. I just argued with God. I fight with him. How dare you, Christian? How dare you to do that? How dare you to harbor such an attitude to our great God? Years back, I had this teacher, I had this instructor of me, and she just smothered her baby. The baby died during her sleep. But she continued to serve the Lord faithfully. She continued to humble himself before the Lord. Also another example, a couple who are ministers, who are servants of the Lord, they had this baby girl. This baby girl had a very severe case of a cerebral palsy. So the child grew up, but the child only could he do or could she do was crawling all over the place. Well, like the Bible said, children are inheritance from God. Then how come, Lord, you give me this inheritance? My inheritance is just a crawler and nothing else. She could not speak. She could not utter sound. All she did is crawling all over the place. This couple did not complain. They did not fight with God. They did not grumble before God. Instead, they just encouraged the child. Instead, they just urged their baby on. They just taught her how to brush her teeth, how to wash herself, how to do other family chores. When her child later on grew up, when she went to school, she was rejected by the fellow students. She was sneered by other students. She was slighted and belittled by fellow students. When she came home, the parents continued to taunt her. Well, just don't feel bad about, because your classmates, your schoolmates, they do not have Jesus in their heart. We have Jesus in our hearts. You need to continue to pray for them. Just pray for them. Just love them. Just pray for them. Hopefully, Jesus will become their Lord also. So this baby girl grew up to be a very healthy, very good girl. She was never attacked by self-pity or other negative feelings. She grew up to be such a wonderful and a loving young Christian girl. And finally, you know what? Believe it or not, she had her doctor's degree from UCLA in the arts field, and she painted very beautiful, very lively pictures. It's so colorful. All the colors she used are so vibrant because she had this lively spirit inside her. But she still mumbles. When she talks, she mumbles. She stutters very, very severely. But she is not bothered by that at all, because she has such a good feeling about herself. She has this right attitude. She has this right spirit inside her. She is not only very healthy, very young Christian lady, and she is full of humor. And when you talk to her, you can tell right away, this is a person with a very pleasant, very bright personality. And she became a counselor in the church. So for those people who suffered, who are in pain, and who had problems, they came to the church, they came to this lady for counseling. And normally when they talked to her, and they felt different. They felt good about it. Sometimes a lot of them, they felt ashamed of themselves. Just by looking at this young lady, they felt very ashamed of themselves. Look, God used this sick lady. God used this lady with a severe handicap, with a severe predicament, to do His wonderful work. Not only inside this young lady herself, also in the people around her, in the people who ever have any contacts with her. So God's name is glorified. So she just became comfort to so many people. She comforted so many people who came to her. This is a sister who is equipped with the spirit of humility. She is a person who very humble, who is very humble. Why? Because her parents are humbling themselves before the Lord. Her parents are humble themselves before the Lord. So they taught her. They just brought up her up in the same spirit, in the same way. So that quality is developed inside this young Christian lady. She grew up to be such a beautiful, loving person. So the important thing is, whenever we are struck by difficulties, struck by disasters, we need to have this humbling attitude, which is humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. Let's look at another passage, which is 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 25-26. Then the king said to Zadok, "Take the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the Lord's eyes, He will bring me back and let me see it and His dwelling place again. But if he says, 'I'm not pleased with you,' then I'm ready. Let him do to me whatever seems good to him." This is the time when David was chased by his very own son. So Zadok and the people, they were carrying the ark. They just put the ark down on the ground. But David said to Zadok, "Take the ark back into the city." And this is a very important moment, because right now he's being chased. David is on the run. This is the most important time for him to have the presence of the Lord. In Old Testament time, the ark represents the presence of the Lord. So he needs more than any other time the presence of the Lord. In other terms, he needs this ark of the Lord with him. But he said, "No, bring it back into the city. If the Lord's willing, and I will come back, I will see the ark again and see Lord's dwelling place again." But if he is not willing, then I'm ready. Let him do to me whatever seems good to me. This is another example. David humbled himself before the Lord under God's mighty hand. The important thing for David to do is to please the Lord. All his concern, all he worried about is how to make the Lord happy, how to please the heart of the Lord. We Christians often behave just differently, just the opposite. When we are struck with disasters or when we are sick sometimes, we just call the ministers, pastors, church workers to let them pray for us because all we want is the healing, the sickness be cured, all that. But look at this. David humbled himself first before the Lord. Remember, blessings are not something you just go ahead and grab it. The blessings to attain those blessings, to be blessed by the Lord, the way to do it is to do everything you can to please the Lord. Doing that, God will be so happy, God will be so willing, God is waiting to bless us, God is waiting to show His graciousness to you and I. Just like Andrew Murray said, humility is not something you can bring and present to the Lord. It is also not a gift that the Lord is going to give you. The humility is a realization. It's an ultimate realization that I am nobody. I have nothing. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. I can do nothing to help. I'm so desperate. That's the realization. So God's Spirit can start to work in you. So the attitude of humility is, let me step aside. Let me do not stand in the way. So God can work according to His plan, not my plan. What He wants me to be, what He wants me to do. Once when we have this spirit of humility, then our faith will grow. Our faith will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. We will become stronger Christians. We will not be afraid of everything. We will not be afraid of other people. We won't be afraid that people will hurt me, people will offend me, because I know I have nothing. Since I'm nobody, since I have nothing, why should I be so afraid? There's nothing can be taken away from me. There's nothing that can be stripped from me. So why should I be afraid? So if we really have the spirit of humility, we will not be all the time self-protective. We will not be so self-apprehensive because we have nothing. We are nobody. So humility will help us to know our own identity, our real identity. Our real identity is the realization, I am the created. I have nothing. I have no capability. I have no ability. I have nothing. I'm nobody. There's nothing I can do to myself. The only thing I can do is to call upon the name of the Lord, is to look up to Jesus, to His grace, to His blessing. See, here in the example of David, in the time of the urgent need of the ark, David said, bring the ark back to the city. I don't need it, because David humbled himself before the Lord. Remember, in other parts of the Bible, when the Hebrew people, when they are worried, when they are chased, when they are attacked, all they do is they say, bring the ark here so we can be victorious. We can conquer our enemies. In time of need, or now they want to bring the ark into their presence. But remember, in normal times, in peaceful times, they did not pay respect to the ark. So this is often the same attitude that today's Christians have. Oftentimes, we have this spirit of strife, spirit of contention. We want to be competitive. We want to be very aggressive. We do not want to humble ourselves before people, before the Lord. We just want to compete. We want to just go ahead and grab the opportunity, to grab the things we can get hold on to. Let's look at another Bible verse, which is in the book of Genesis, chapter 13, 8 through 11. So Abraham said to Lot, let us not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward the Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. And also verses 14 and 15. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. We all know Abram brought Lot with him. And Abram also older than Lot, but Lot let go of the authority he had in his hand. And he did not have this spirit of strife and contention. And he is not worried about what if Lot chose the better land, that piece of land, better part of the land. He just let go. And he had a strong enough faith in the Lord. He let go. Let Lot make the first choice. But we all know the results of these two choices. Lot made the first choice. Lot made his choice to grab this good land, good part of the land. All this is visible. A piece of land is visible. But invisible blessings belongs to the Lord. The Lord gives the invisible blessings to who? Not to Lot, to Abraham. So here we can see the quality of humility, another aspect of the character of humility, which is a humble person who has a strong enough faith in the law to let go of a choice, to let go of making the decision. Let the Lord make the decision for him. So Christians, fellow Christians, do you and I have such a faith? So we are willing, we are strong enough so we can let go of our choosing, of our choices. Let God make the decision. Let God make the choice for you, for me. So here we can see it is a determination. It is a decision to humble, to deliberately make the decision to humble oneself before the Lord, to humble oneself under the God's mighty hand. So to make a decision, to accept whatever environment, whatever circumstances God has measured out for me. This is the humble attitude. We all know the results. The land Lot got was burned up in great fire with Sodom and Gomorrah. So the secret of getting blessings from the Lord is to have a humble heart. The humbling heart is not something words on the paper or just some teaching we give out in the church. It is some principle. It is a spiritual principle you and I need to put to practice. We need to exercise. When we look at today's Christians, often we parents, we want our children the best. Yes, I agree with that. But look at today's parents. We want our children to be medical doctors, to be musicians. We have this couple. They had their son. They wanted him to go to medical school. So they urged, they pushed, they were very strict to the child. Later on, this child grew up. He got his medical degree. But when he grew up, he finally rebelled. He gave up medical field. He changed again. He went to his art field. He went to pursue another separate degree in art field because he loves painting. See, this is an example. His natural aptitude, his talent, his interest is in the art, in the painting. But if parents forced him into the medicine field. But if instead the parents took a different attitude, you just helped, you encouraged, you supported his natural aptitude, maybe that much better. That's going to reveal God's plan on this child, both to the parents and to the child himself. But instead, often we parents, we force our children to be lawyers, to be doctors, to be pianists, concert pianists, all that. It's so sad. It's so miserable. It happened like that. So as I understand, the spot that parents find they are very short in short and low in their patience is at a piano. It's beside a piano. So that's why oftentimes some parents, some mothers, they put a sticker on their piano that says, be gentle, be calm, and don't get mad. They put a stick on there with these words on it. Because that's the time they find their patience are low, their patience are short. Why? Because they get so frustrated. Because they just urge their children so much, they push their children so much to practice the piano. But children don't want to do that. Children rebelled. You know what? We just gave them so many skills. We provide them with so many different educations, different trainings. Are you sure these will be useful in their adult life? Probably not. The important thing here is not to push a lot of training and skills into them. The important thing is try to build heavenly qualities in their characters, heavenly qualities in their spirit. I heard so many times, and particularly the families here around the Bay Area, and often parents, they share their just information among themselves. Well, one person say, okay, my child is learning this and learning that. It's so good. Is your child learning? And the other parents say, no, I don't know about that. Okay, it's so good. Just so now, one more training, one more lesson or classes or group responsibility is added as a burden onto this child. And so the parents, all they do is chauffeuring their children around to different trainings, do different karate classes, music lessons, dancing classes, so on and so on. And children were bombarded with these extracurricular activities. They were so bogged down, they were so exhausted, and they are left very unhappy. So here, it's another example. Another time, we parents need to let go. Children is not our personal property. It's not our possession. It's our inheritance. Our Lord has entrusted us to do, entrusted us to bring them up, to rear them in a proper way, in a Christian way. The issue we really should be concerned, we should really be worried about, we should really be concentrating on is to develop Christian qualities, develop heavenly characters in these children. So instead, if we change our attitude, if we change our outlook, when we give them music lessons, the purpose behind it is so they can be equipped, they be trained, they can better serve the Lord, they can better serve in the church, then the outcome will be different, the expectations will be different, then the whole thing will be so different. Then the children, the youngsters, they will have different attitude also. They will be learning their music lessons. They will be learning their dancing lessons for the Lord. Then the whole scenario will be different. So we need to be very careful. If we really have this attitude for our children to learn their skills, to serve the Lord better, we need to communicate with their teachers. So their teachers will not only teach their classical music, the teachers will also just guide them through how to play church music, how to play hymns and Christian songs. So remember, Christians, we need to do the right thing to ourselves and to our children. Be careful, do everything, teach our children in the spirit of the Lord. Teach our children according to the principles of the Lord. Otherwise, when your children grow up, the children are very skilled in various areas. But these children, they do not love the Lord. They do not have this thirst for the ultimate truth. What's the good you can get out of that? Do you really want your children to grow like that? We really need to teach our children
to love the Lord more, to know the Lord more, to know the truth more. I'm very confident that now the parents, they just come to me, they request my cassette tapes to be translated into English so their children can listen to these cassette tapes and will help their growth in the Christ. I'm very comforted by parents doing that. So Christians, parents, very important. We need to guide our children on the right path. We need to understand what is the most important thing in the lives of our children. What is the most important thing in our own lives as well? So let me emphasize one more time. Humility. One important aspect of humility is humble oneself under God's mighty hand. Let me repeat. Humble oneself under God's mighty hand. So don't feel frustrated. Let's say, for example, if the parents, they are very musical inclined and very gifted in music, in piano, in violin, all that. But your children seems he or she was born without any musical particle in him. He is not musically inclined at all. Then don't feel frustrated. It's fine. Whatever God made him, whatever way God created him, God has a great plan for him. And there was Christian lady. She had her only daughter when she was in her late 30s. So the daughter was really the apple of her eye. And when she was later on in her late teens and early 20s, she was in a professional school. And all of a sudden, she brought home a boyfriend. The boyfriend smokes, drinks, and gambles with mahjong. The mother was so shocked and so traumatized. Why? Because the mother had her own agenda, had her own plan, because the mother has a prospective future son-in-law in her mind. Then who is that person anyway? That's a young boy who is pursuing a PhD degree in the U.S., and that's a son of the family friend. So the mother had this boy for her. Now the daughter wants her own boyfriend. So they had this big fight. They fight the long and hard of it. Both sides were not give up. Both sides were not let go. So both sides just insisted their own ideas. And they really fought very badly. And later on, when the mother prayed before God, God showed her this vision. God showed her this vision that she was grabbing on this big fish, would not let go. When she woke up, God just told her, the big fish is your daughter. You need to let go. You need to let go. So she realized God has taught her lesson. So she changed her attitude. She just humbled herself before the Lord. She changed. She accepted that boyfriend her daughter brought home. And finally, these two married. And later on, something happened. They received a letter from the U.S. The boy, the young boy who is pursuing a PhD degree in U.S., which the mother plans on taking him as her son-in-law. That son found out he had a leukemia, and a little while later, and he died. On the other hand, the young boy, the boy who smokes, drinks, and gambles, that her daughter married, so now he is her son-in-law. And later on, the son-in-law changed. He quit smoking, he quit gambling, he quit drinking. Not only that, he became a very loving person, very respectful to her as a mother-in-law. See, who knew? Who could have known this could be the outcome? This could be the results. Nobody knew. So a lot of things we really don't know. While we are in the midst of it, we don't know what will happen later on. What will be the ultimate outcome? Only God knows. That's why you and I really need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to let go. We need to let God take control. We need to step outside the way so God can take control. Let God sit in the driver's seat because He knows the way. He knows the way the best. So through this whole thing, God really performed circumcision in the heart of the mother. So the mother, from that day on, she really knew who is in charge, who is in control of tomorrow, who is God. So, fellow Christians, brothers and sisters, we do not have to worry so much. We worry so much. We are so concerned about so many things. Actually, we're wasting our time and energy. We do not need to be like that. Because if we really humble ourselves before the Lord, we humble ourselves under the mighty hands of God, then we don't need to worry. We need not to be concerned that much. Whether or not it's the job, what kind of job you arranged for me, God? What kind of a roommate you arranged for me in my school? What kind of spouse you have arranged for me? What kind of children you have arranged for me? I do not need to worry, because, Lord, you are God. You are my Lord. You are in control of everything. I don't need to worry about who is my co-worker in the church. Who are the people in my cell group that I involved with? Lord, all I need to do is to come before you, come into your presence to worship you, to humble myself, to bow down before you, to really bow down my spirit before you, to accept whatever you have measured out for me. I do not need to make these decisions. I do not need to insist my decision, insist my ideas upon my environment, upon my people, upon my circumstances. I will only cause myself lots and lots of misery and pain. Because if I behave that way, then I myself am the Lord. I'm not treating God as my Lord. So I'm so stupid doing that way. So brothers and sisters, we really need to be very careful. We really need to search our hearts. Do we still have this spirit of contention, this spirit of strife, this spirit of pride? So we still want to grab. We want to do everything ourselves. We want to fight ourselves. We really want to be competitive, to be aggressive, to force our own plan, to force our own ideas on everything. Stop doing that. Stop doing that in the name of the Lord. We need to be thankful to our Lord for everything happening in our life. Maybe our child does not like to play the piano. We need to be thankful to the Lord. We need to thank the Lord for that. Lord, I thank you for my daughter who does not like to play the piano. I thank you. At least she is healthy. Lord, I thank you for that. If my son is not very good at school, if he is not getting great grades, Lord, I thank you. I thank you he is struggling. I thank you he does not get very commendable grades. So what? Lord, I thank you because you have your purpose in him. You have your plan for him. I don't know what kind of person he is growing to be, but you know. Since you know, I can put my mind to peace. Why should I worry? I just thank you for everything that's coming into my way, that's coming into my life. All I need to do is let go. Let go of my control. Let me step aside. Lord, I want you to control of everything in my life. I want you to take control of my spiritual life. There's this sister just who shared her witness with us, and when she humbled herself before the Lord, when she just really bowed down under God's mighty hand, when she looked around the people, looked at people around her, it's so different. She found that to her pleasant surprise, her children are quite good. Her children are very pleasant, very loving. And her husband is also very friendly, very lovely, and very agreeable, very easy to get along with. See, it's not because other people around her changed, but because the Spirit of the Lord changed her attitude, changed her heart. Remember the example of Jesus? Jesus once said, not only once, quite a few times said, for those who have ears, listen. That's all he did. He never forced people to listen. He never said, you guys listen, you better listen. If you don't listen, I'm going to call the fire from heaven down to burn you guys up. He never did that. And when he was in this world, he was rejected, he was belittled, he was ignored, he was slighted, he was sneered. Finally, he was crucified. That's Jesus. That's how humble Jesus was. And this is really a good example for us, an example of a humble life before mankind. So if you have this spirit of humility in you, then it's okay if people just mistreated you, people offended you. That's fine, because you have peace in your heart. You have this peace from the Lord. You have this love from the Lord. You can take it. You can take all this, and you are not bothered at all. Let me stop here. And I will continue next week. So the important thing, once you have an attitude of humility before the Lord, you can always, regardless of circumstances and environments, you can always humble yourself before God. You can always bow down before the mercy seat. So no matter what people do to you, no matter what people say to you, it won't bother you. It won't disturb you. Because once you are rid of this spirit of pride, you will take all these things peacefully. You can take these things like nothing happened, because you have the Lord within you. You have the Holy Spirit inside you. You have Lord's peace and Lord's power and Lord's strength and Lord's love inside you. You can take all these. We can always enjoy this inner peace, this indescribable peace. That's in hymn number 388. Pastor John's message ends here.